Morning. Well, we're in the second half of Ephesians chapter 4. Glad to have some old friends back with us. Not old in the old sense, but, you know, been around for a while. And former Malvernites, thank you, Hillary and Tracy. It's great to have you, and all the regulars as well. You have an outline in your, well, you had an outline last week. If you have bulletin from last week, or there's still some probably floating around in the lobby, you can get an outline of the book of Ephesians. The first half had to do with our blessings in Christ, and the second half of the book, starting in chapter 4, where we are now, has to do with our walk, applying those blessings in our everyday life. We talked last week about walking in unity, and today walking in purity. Next week, Frank's going to talk about walking in love, and so on. The whole rest of the book has to do with the number of walks, and I'm glad we can continue where we left off last week. We're starting in verse 17 today. This is the practical part of the book. The first half was more theoretical. Count your blessings, and now we're walking in them in the second half of the book. Just for those who weren't here last week, I'll review quickly. We talked about first three verses of chapter 4, a plea. Paul pleads for Christian unity. And then he gives us the grounds for that in verses 4 through 6. He listed seven things that we all have in common with other believers, and so we should walk in unity. And then he lists the gifts. He talks about the spiritual gifts, again, which are for the purpose of unifying the church, not for individual blessing. The gifts that we have gifts of the Spirit that we have are for others in the church. And when we are ministering our spiritual gifts, then we are edifying the body of Christ. And then he gave the example of how the church, using gifted men who are using their gifts and are building up one another, how we all work together as a church for the glory of God. Today, we move on from there. First, I want to just give the big idea of this whole section we're going to talk about today. And it has to do with learning Christ. Learning Christ in order to learn how to walk in purity and then to do it. We have to learn Christ. We talked about that a little bit in the first meeting, but we'll bring that up again now for those who didn't hear about that. Learning Christ, that one hymn we sang out of the great book was perfect. Take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. Dwell with Him, and we'll learn how to do that a little bit more in the lesson today, how to learn Christ, being yoked together with Him, being tied together so that He is showing us the example that we need to follow. So let's read those first couple verses in Ephesians 4, 7, starting at 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Wow, that's a pretty negative list there, but we'll get into that in just a moment. In your bulletin, you have an outline of the slides that I'll be showing, but there's another page in there that we're going to look at individually at the end. It's not on the slides. I couldn't figure out how to put it into a PowerPoint, so I just printed out a whole page of a chart that I wanted us to talk about. But anyway, B has to do with walking in purity. A was last week, walk in unity. So B, walking in purity. And as we saw last week, walking in unity has to do with our walk, our life here in the church. But then today's lesson is how we, as believers, our relationship with the world. When we leave this door and we go to the mission field outside, the unsaved world is looking at us, and this is how we need to act in the world. And we'll see how we do that today. We are in Christ as believers, but we are also in the world. We are all, as believers, part of the body of Christ, the local example of that here in Malvern, but we also spend probably the majority of our time living out in the world, and we have to learn how to be able to keep pure in a world that's full of temptations and defilement. We must be witnesses to the world, but we also must walk in purity as we do so and not be defiled by that world. So, those verses we just read, those negative verses, is a description of the world. It's very negative. And the Christian should not be doing those things. We have been saved out of that world, and our job now, our responsibility now, is to live as believers in Christ in that world, but not be defiled by it. And Paul gives us three reasons why it's futile, he used that word, why it's just plain stupid to try to live like the world when you're a Christian. First of all, their minds, those people who are non-believers, non-followers of Christ, their minds are darkened and they believe lies and they have not received the truth. That's the words that Paul uses to describe them, those who are living in the world, non-believers. And you might also want to read some of these other references. You have them in your notes. I won't take the time now to read most of them, but they're there, and they're good verses that give further insight into these thoughts about the world and its their minds being darkened and believing lies and not having the truth in them. It comes from verse 17 that we just read. In verse 18, it talks about the second thing. Those in the world are spiritually dead. Remember how Ephesians 2 starts out, talks about us being spiritually dead. We can't respond to anything that pertains to Christ because we're dead to Christ but alive to the world. That all gets changed the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. But to be trying to follow the world means you're not living the way you should be. You're dead to the world, and you're trying to become alive to it again when you're dead. That doesn't make any sense. It's futile. And then in verse 19, it also talks about the third reason why we should never try to imitate the world or live for the world. Those in the world have surrendered themselves to do all kinds of sin. And he mentions those in verse 19. They don't require a lot of explanation, giving themselves over to lewdness, work all uncleanness, greediness, all those things that come so naturally to those in the world, and they're so opposite what we should be living as Christians. So he starts out with a negative and says, if we're going to walk in purity, We shouldn't be doing those things. But what should we be doing? Well, let's continue to read. Verse 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ." There's where we're going to dwell quite a bit today on learning Christ. "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Walk in purity. Here's why. Because Christ gives us that example. We recently studied similar passages in Colossians, and we kept saying, well, we're going to learn more about that when we get to the Ephesians study. Today I'll try to point you back to that section in Colossians as well. The Christian life is radically different from that of the world. Paul says, don't live like the world, because it's so radically different from what we should be living, how we should be living. And Paul gives us three commandments that we can follow, helping us to be different from the world around us. Because we have not so learned the Lord. He hasn't taught us the way the world has taught us. He's taught us in a different way. And so we need to learn those things. The first commandment he gives, and we talked about this in Matthew. I added that this morning. It's not in your notes. I was just meditating on that this morning and added it at the last minute, that the verses we read about Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, and all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And we talked about how a yoke keeps us close to the one that we're supposed to be learning from. And we're to learn from Christ. And so he says, take my yoke upon you. Be attached to me. Learn of me. The things that I do, you do. And you'll not have any trouble doing that. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. Anyway, going back to chapter 4 of Ephesians now, in verses 20 and 21, we saw the importance of living differently. And we can do that in three different ways. He gives three commandments. First of all, he talks about putting off in verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We said, don't live like that. Put it off. Take off those way of living. We were studying in Colossians, and Wiersbe uses the term grave clothes. And to put off the grave clothes, you're no longer dead. You've been made alive in Christ. Put off, change those old grave clothes, just as Lazarus did. Remember Lazarus? He died, and the sisters called for Jesus to come, and finally, after 4 days, he's there. And Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days, and it stinks, decay. And Jesus says, take the stone away. And he calls and says, Lazarus, come forth. And so I'm trying to visualize this. Here's a guy wrapped up in clothes, and he probably has to do it like a bunny hop to get out of the tomb. And Jesus says to him, loose him and let him go. That's from John chapter 11, 43 to 44. When he had said, when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he was dead. He who was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." How would you like to live your life wrapped up in those grave clothes, unable to run, unable to walk, unable to do anything of value? So Jesus says, "Unloose him and let him go." And that's what that's the meaning here in this idea of putting off. Put off those grave clothes and begin to live with Christ. The second thing he talks about here is putting on. Yeah, it's great to take off the grave clothes, but what are you going to stand there with nothing on? No, you put on the grace clothes, to use the expression that Wiersbe used. Put on the grace clothes. Clothe yourself with those blessings that you have in Christ. That's what the first three chapters are all about. And so, knowing you have all those blessings, start using them. Start wearing them. This whole idea is talked about again in Colossians chapter 3, 10 to 14. So I would encourage you to look that up and to see the comparison between the two. But we are enjoined to put on those grace clothes. We need a change of our walk. The next verses, 25 through 32, is a long section that I've summarized in a chart in the back, but we'll get to that in a moment. Let's read those verses first of all. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, which is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that we may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So we've seen how we should put off the grave clothes, how we should put on the grace clothes. And this final section starts out in verse 25 with put away. Put off, put on, put away. Get rid of a lot of things that were there in your life before. This is something we do when we become a Christian, or we should be doing this. Remember how Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." God wants us to learn of him. Maybe I didn't quote that properly. Let me just make sure I said it. It's such an important verse. I have memorized it, but something in my brain says I missed a key word there. So let me read it again. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. That's the part I missed. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. This is something it's a process that we do. We make this commitment to offer ourselves back to God. We desire to live for Him, to be side by side with Him, yoked to Him. And as we do that, we learn Christ. We learn the way Christ would do things. We don't wear a bracelet that says, "What would Christ do?" We're hooked up to Him. We can't get away from it. We know what He would do, and so we have to do it. Unless we try to fight against it and get out from the yoke that He has put on us and that we have voluntarily chosen to wear. And as we walk with Christ this way, and as we learn Christ, then things just pass away. They fall by the wayside. They're no longer important. You might want to look in your bulletin for the handout that's there. Again, Neil printed this out for us on Wednesday. And since then, I've had a few other thoughts I've added, but they're not major, and I'll just try to point it out to you. But take a look at that chart. Talked about putting off, putting on, and now putting away. We're to let Christ transform us as we are yoked to Him, and as we're trying to learn from Him, learn Christ, not learn about Him, but learn Christ. Learn to do what He would do. And as we do that, He transforms us, as it says there in Romans 12:2. He names a lot of sins in these verses 25 through 32. And maybe we ought to just take a couple minutes and go over what they're talking about here, but part of what we need to learn today, as we put away certain sins, we also have to embrace other truths that he mentions here in parallel to the sins that are put away. First of all, he mentions those four first sins in verses 25 to 29. He talks about lying. That doesn't really require too much explanation. Statements that are not true, we say these things to deceive someone. But we're really told to speak the truth, not to lie. Anger, wrath, these are degrees of the same thing. He mentions settling a matter quickly, otherwise we give place to the devil. Godly anger is good, like Jesus when he cleansed the temple, he was angry. But he was angry at sin, not the sinners that were doing it. Stealing, verse 28. Labor to have something to give to the needy. So he's saying here that we shouldn't steal, not because it's wrong, it is, but if we steal, then we're taking something away that really could have been given to someone else, but because it's been stolen, now that's not available. Corrupt communication, verse 29. Edify or give grace to the hearers. Change of heart leads to a change of speech. Corrupt or something which is rotten, good for nothing, those things can't build up. They destroy, they tear down. And why should we not have do those things that are mentioned there, those sins that are to be put away? because there's a truth to embrace. We're all members of one body. We talked about that last week. All of us are one body. And so if we're lying or have anger, stealing, corrupt communication, it's destroying the body of Christ here. And we're all members of that body. And we have to remember that we're all members, and that's part of the reason that we don't do these things. He goes on in verse 30 to talk about grieving the Spirit. Now, this is one type of sin that's to be put away with, but it has all kinds of members, and some of them have already been mentioned, like the bitterness and wrath. When we allow bitterness to come in to our lives, it grows, it festers, and finally it explodes when it's fanned into flame by some incident, clamor, brawling is the word that we would use, fighting with our fists. But we don't always fight with our fists. Evil speaking is fighting with words. And all malice, our thought life, the thoughts that we have that are evil towards someone with the intent to bring harm. These are things that we need to be remembering, embracing the fact that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. We don't want to grieve the Spirit because we all have the Spirit. And so anything we do, like these bitterness and anger and so on, against those in the family of God, how can we do those things that if all of us have the same Holy Spirit within us, we're grieving the Spirit if we participate in these things? And then he talks in the last verse, 32, about being kind to one another, being tender-hearted, forgiving one another. These are really the opposite of the sin of unkindness, hard-heartedness, and unforgiveness. And so we should be careful that these sins are not a part of our new life. We don't put those on because we have all been forgiven by God in Christ. So how can we be unforgiving, unloving, hard-hearted toward others when Christ loved us so much and he loved each one of us the same? So there are sins to be put away, and if we do that and embrace the truth that is behind all those things, why we should put these things away, then we are able to walk in purity. Let me just conclude with a couple of thoughts. We're supposed to learn Christ and not learn the world. See, the world is full of all kinds of stuff that won't help us in our Christian life. And Paul is encouraging us to learn Christ, not learn the things of this world. Be yoked with him. Then we're enjoined to learn Christ and be loosed from our grave clothes, our old way of doing things. Put away the sins that we just looked at briefly and be free to live for Christ. So learn him and not the world. Learn him and be loosed from our sins. And thirdly, learn Christ and be wearing the grace clothes. We've taken off those evil things that the world promotes, but we've put on grace clothes. And now as we learn Christ, as we're walking with him side by side, as we're spending time intimately with him every day, we embrace the truth that we were just looking at. We're all members of one body. We're all sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're all forgiven by God. So how can we not do those things that we should do? We talked about that again earlier in the church, But as we witness to the world, as we live in the world, and we have this attitude toward the world that Christ had, then we can transform ourselves, but also transform the world that comes in contact with us as we walk in purity. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can take time to be holy, as we were just singing earlier. Take time to be with you each day and not let the world squeeze us into its mold, but to be learning of Christ in our walk with you as we are loosed from those grave clothes and we walk in newness of life with you. We pray that you'll help us to do that this week. You'll help us to be a witness for you in a world that doesn't know you, that is seeking you, and that when it sees a believer that's following you and living in purity, then they will want to have the same in their lives as well. So we commit ourselves to you this week and the rest of this day. Thank you so much that we've been able to fellowship with one another and to fellowship around the emblems earlier that spoke to us of the reason we have for this new life. Help us to walk in purity this week by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.